Then went the Pharisees, and they took counsel how they might entangle Jesus in his talk. It's real hard to entangle Jesus in his talk. He's really good. He's really good at untying the knot. And not only that, binding you in the process. So those that are seeking to entangle Jesus, and a lot of people want to entangle Christians, but God will give us wisdom to entangle those that seek to tangle us. And they sent out to him their disciples, the Pharisees, with the Herodians. So now he's got not only the Pharisees and their disciples, who are scribes and so on, but also now the Herodians, who they're not even Jewish, as you know, and they've got a bunch of guys that want Rome to win. They want Rome to be in charge. And it's good to send them because the Pharisees don't want to pay the tax to Caesar. They don't like the IRS. Whereas the Herodians do, because they're Romans. They're for Rome. So they want the overlord to get his due. And so now you've got an argument that's going to come up because of this, see if they can catch Jesus. Because either way he goes, he's going to lose. If he goes with the Herodians and the Jews, the Romans, then people are going to say, you like to be unfairly taxed? And then if he goes with the Pharisees, then the Herodians will attack him. And they'll tell the Romans on him. Jesus is teaching treason. He's teaching, you know, against the government. He wants us to undermine the government. So, poor Jesus, he's going to lose. It's whatever way he goes, he's going to lose. And they know it. They got him. Hey, here's an idea. Let's get him. Either way he goes, he loses. How many know that Jesus can turn any loss into a gain? If he can do that with the Pharisees and Herodians, he could do it with you. Help you out of any situation. Gee, I'm either going to kill my husband or divorce him. You know, that kind of thing. It's kind of a dilemma. And so death is much better. All right. And they sent out to him their disciples with the Herodians, verse 16, saying, Master, Rabbi, we know that thou art true. This is called slick talk. It always gives away tricky people. Whenever somebody compliments you, you know they're setting you up. Master, now we know you're true. We know you're true. We know you're true. You always tell the truth. We're big on that. We're agreeing to that. And you teach the way of God in truth. So that's a compliment. When the world compliments you, when your enemies compliment you, you know you're being set up. So you got to be careful when people flatter you. Amen? And people do it all the time. And when they hate your guts, they say the smoothest words to trap you, to bring you in. I love it. Don't you love it? It's powerful. For you regard not, you care for neither for any man. You don't care who the person is, whether it's this or that. I mean, you're not a people pleaser. And you do not respect persons just because the guy's rich or he's poor, fat or skinny, dumb, smart, male, female, young, old. You don't regard people. You're not into that. You're into justice. You want to do the will of God in truth. So what they've done is set him up so that he can't escape. In other words, don't try to sneak out of this. Because you say, and we agree, you teach the truth. Okay, now we're going to see if you will. Because if you go against Caesar, then you're going against God. And if you go against the Jewish people, then you go against God. We got you. Either way you go, we got you. How many know that's a good game? Has anybody ever played that? You can play that game by tricking people. You know, I'm glad you said that. Now I got you. And so that makes for good marriage type arguments. You see, you just made a big mistake right there. I got you. Has anybody ever played that game? That's a great game. I love that game. That is a great game. Now, Peggy's as good as I am. I mean, she's good. She's good. She's good. Very good. I've trained her well. How much? Really? We've been married that long? Wow. How many? 47? Six. 46. I didn't think it was that long. 47. All right, 46 years. That's good. Best thing ever happened to me except Jesus. That's powerful. Isn't God good to me? Perfect wife. Perfect wife. And of course, I was a perfect husband. I mean, I just, without any, there's no, you know, I'm not boasting or anything. I just am. Just really great, awesome. I'm a complete mess. But, you see, God has a sense of humor. And God always gives, and Peggy, he knew she needed someone rough like myself to bring out the, you know, to cut that diamond so that it would be smooth and beautiful. All right. Tell us, therefore, what you think. And those we want to know, you give us your opinion on this. Is it lawful? Is it permitted? Is it allowed to give tribute to Caesar or not? Which way are you going to go on that? So you're going to get in trouble with the Jews or you're going to get in trouble with the Romans? Which one? Is it lawful? Now, I'm just asking you a question. Because the Pharisees think it is not. They think, okay, do you know what tribute is? Does anyone know what tribute is? It's not the same thing as tax. A tribute, you owe a tax to your government because they stop bad guys and, you know, help good guys. So that's what governments do. So they got to get some money for that. But the real cost comes in tribute, which is to someone not your own nation who owns your nation. In other words, outside creditors that own the place. And you've made so many loans to China. You've made so many loans to Saudi Arabia. You know, you've put out so many of your dollars around the European market that they own you. They actually buy all your stuff and they own all your assets. Did you know that America doesn't own itself anymore? And people that live in America who actually own our creditors to you, they're actually internationalists. They don't care about America. All they want is, you know, to own you. What a great thing to own is America. That would be a great market. What a market. Except for China, America is the biggest market. And we have lots of dough. So it's a terrific market. China is more extensive, but they aren't as gifted as we are. They are not able yet to supply the world's commodities. But they can supply many, some. But they're way behind industrially and so on. Trying to catch up. And other nations are as well. But did you know that Texas is the ninth most powerful economic just unit? Just Texas alone in the whole world. Did you know that? We're number nine. If we were to be a country, and that's not a bad idea, but if we were to be a country all of our own and break away, we would be the ninth largest, most powerful economic system in the world. So it's a powerful thing to have, just Texas alone. And it would weaken America because we got a lot of stuff here. We got financial markets, oil and gas, agriculture, you know, all kinds of technology, blah, 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 blah. So Texas has multiple, you know, five or six major sources for revenue. Anyway, taxes go to your own country, but tribute goes to outsiders. So the Romans had conquered the Jews. And the Jews were no longer self-governing. Did you know you're no longer self-governing? I don't know if you know this or not. You don't have a constitution over you or anything else. It's just a game. You lost your ability. When you're trillions of dollars in debt, you are not running your own show. And you cannot pay that. It's not like, well, we could just pay it any day we want to. No, you can't. Because your government will outspend, I don't care how much you try to pay off, they'll outspend you. They're going to keep you in debt forever. Are you all aware of this? That's why all of the politicians, no matter how nice they are when you elect them, they will end up bribed. They'll either take a prostitute or some kind of other kind of deal, or they'll take some kind of a scholarship or whatever. They want payments. And it's easy then to bribe them. You want to sit on this committee? Okay. You want to be reelected? Okay. And they can bribe you so easily that if you decide you're going to be true to the people, they will make sure you never get reelected. Or that your mistress is exposed. Or. They've got it all worked out. They know all of your weak points. They got pictures. They got, you know, documents. And they keep every local official, every state official, and every federal official. I don't care who you are. They got them all. Now, there are a few exceptions, of course, who refuse, but they usually don't stay in office long. Or if they do, they're completely inept. They are not able to accomplish zero. They can't do anything. So taxes go to your own local government or your state government or your national government, but tribute goes to the outsider. And the biggest chunk is tribute. Now, there are several words in the Greek language for paying a tax, whether it's a tribute or a tax. And Paul says there's only four things you owe government. Four things and four things only. In other words, government, here's government right here. Government is owed four things. You only owe government four things, so it's very limited to these four things. One, honor. You must honor the person, not because of the person, but the person in the office. So you're honoring the office, not the person. In other words, you must honor your president, not because you like him personally, whether you do or you don't, it's irrelevant, but because of the office he holds. You must honor the policeman, even though he throws beer cans in your yard, as a non-policeman neighbor. When he puts his uniform on, he's a policeman, and you cannot attack him now, because he's got his uniform and a gun and a badge. And because of that, you don't want to mess with him while he's in office. Now, when he comes home and throws the beer can, you can, you know, beat him up and do whatever you want to do. Yell at him and scream at him. But he might call the police. because he has friends, you know. So, I tell you what, it's hard then to get justice in this earth. Has anybody noticed that? But you know where the problem lies? I know you do. You know where the problem lies? Where does the problem lie? It's always the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and confess their sins and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will then heal their land. I mean, I just ask my people. The church is the key to the world. So right here, our duty to worship God, if you had true religion rather than false religion, then you'd have true morals rather than changing every week morals. And then you'd have a true political system, which the founding fathers set up. At that time, there was true religion, faith, not works. At that time, there was morals, and everybody, they were universal, whether you were Baptist or a Quaker or a Catholic or whoever you were, you all had the same morals. Everybody shared. They didn't change every week. And you had a government that was just. A just government would be one that gives every man his due, that does right to everybody, and the judges and so on. It was difficult to bribe them. First of all, did you know that most of the people that ran for office got no salary or a very minimal type salary? That's the first thing. There's no way you could get to them because they were already wealthy. You couldn't even go into politics if you weren't self-fortunate, if you didn't have a fortune of your own. And those that did lost them often because of the war that was going on and so on. They lost their reputation, their name. They lost everything for the sake of you. They didn't do it for themselves. Oh, that we had leaders today that were dedicated to the people or to the law or to God. But we don't. We have people today that are pragmatists. They're just trying to stay in business, trying to, you know, keep things going, make you promises that they never intend to keep and so on. Now, I'm not against that because I don't think they're the problem. I think we are. I think we are. We could settle it easily, but we don't want to. We don't want to grow up. We don't want to pray through. We don't want to get the sin out of our life. So God does not recognize us as His church. And when the bad guys go and destroy the church, it's your own fault because you weren't the church. Did you hear what I just said? So God will not defend a whore. If you've been messing around and you are not holy, in other words, your religion isn't true, your morals are, you know, compromised, you know, and you don't ask forgiveness either. You know, you just do what you want to do. And therefore, your public duty is negligent. You haven't even done anything for the public because you're not really trying to renew your society. You don't even think you have a duty to do it. You just say, I just watch TV, try to make money, stay out of debt, and so on. Well, that's really not God's will. God has these three duties. You have your first duty you owe to God, second duty to other people, and third duty to your government. You actually have a duty to be just. And he's actually going to ask you about that. Well, how'd you do? Well, I don't know. They were crooked. Wait, that's not. I don't care if they're crooked or not. Did you do what I said? I didn't say submit to them because they're crooked or not. He doesn't care if they're crooked. By the way, if they're crooked, it's your fault. Let judgment begin in the household of God. He doesn't say, let's begin judgment here because the problem is here. The solution is here and the problem is here. You get right with God, your government will be light. You get wrong with God, you'll have a heavy government. Heavy duty, tribute being paid. We could be debt-free just like that. We could be the rulers of the world easily. But you have other countries that hate your guts, first of all. And they are always, you know, and they just print money off the printing press. You understand that. The Chinese or whoever. They don't care any kind of real currency. They can just print that stuff off the printing press, loan you money. Because it's all paper these days. There's no gold behind it. Nobody knows the real value of a dollar. Or the euro. Or the yen. Or any currency. Did you all know that? So it's a game. It's a game that people are playing to keep you in bondage and stupidity. Weakness. And they're only afraid of America. They're really not afraid of Germany or Ireland or Scotland. They're really not afraid of other countries. They're afraid of America. America's the one that's the big gorilla. That's the one that's the big 800-pound gorilla in the room. And so, America is the one to knock down. And everybody's agreed to that. They'll all cooperate. So Russia, you know, would love to see America crumble and fall. The problem is they all have assets here now. So that is a problem, that now they are us. And we're all one world, because that's the one world design. But this is not the way God set it up, and God doesn't like it. He doesn't like a Babel-type government. God wants to have a government where power is always under law. In other words, anytime you have power, you ought to have authority behind it, and the authority ought to come from God. So if power is circumscribed, if a man has a gun at his side, if he has some kind of power to back up his laws, then that's God. But what if the power is illegitimate? That's God punishing you. You see, because the Romans were punishing Israel, that showed Israel had sinned, not the Romans. I'll say it again. The reason why they were paying tribute and not just taxes, fear, did I say fear, honor, fear? I said honor. You have to honor the man in the office. Second of all, you have to fear. Why? Because he has a sword. And that sword is for bad guys. Now, if you're a good guy, you don't have to fear. If you're a good guy, you don't have to fear. You don't have to render to Caesar honor or fear. If you're doing your job, you don't have to worry about it. Because that guy's there to protect you and punish some guy that's doing wrong. But what if everything goes awry and your religion is always the problem? You get your religion wrong, you'll get your politics wrong. You get your religion right, you'll get your politics right. Now, I was involved for 25 years. I'm still somewhat involved, but not really. But not because I wanted to learn anything. I just wanted to see what I already thought was the case, which is how corrupt everything is. And not only was I a participant, I was a major participant. I was part of the Reagan Revolution in the center of it, a dominant player. In fact, I was in charge of the state of Texas. I was in charge of all the laws. All the rules and all the laws had to go through me because I was the chairman of the Rules Committee. Not only that, after I left that after 6 years, then I went and I became what they call, there's only three people in the state of Texas on this. I was one of the three that's called, you know, kind of an executive committee that watches over all the stuff that goes on. So I was in the center of all of that changeover from one to another. But I watched it corrupt. I watched those that once they got in power, I watched how they corrupted and forgot all of their principles and all those noble, wondrous words about this and that and so on and so forth. And I saw that people could easily be bribed, easily want to get their nephew in or their, you know, whatever that's called, nepotism. And they began to play all the same games that the enemy, the same tricks they were playing that the enemy did. They just did it with, you know, a little difference. They're just a little different. They just had a different take on it. Oh, we're conservative. Oh, we're liberal. Oh, we're this. Oh, we're this. But in the end, it all boils down to the same. Isn't that sad? But then I already knew that before I went in. I just wanted to see for myself, are there any real believers inside the whole political process? And I found some. There are some. But they're few and far between, and they can't get anywhere. They can't, certainly can't take over. So if you want to buy rhetoric, the Republicans have their rhetoric, the Democrats have their rhetoric. But it's just mere rhetoric. They're exactly the same. The Democrats want billions of dollars just the same as the Republicans. Same. There's no difference. They're all in it for the money. They're all in it for the power. They're all in it for the control. And who isn't in it is the people. The people have no one to represent them. But it's your fault. The reason why you render to Caesar is because God told you to. But what if he's a bad Caesar? What if Caesar is oppressive? That's God's punishment on a people that have not turned to him. So you are now being judged as a nation. And the world is suffering because you never were what you said you were. You were a hypocrite. Isn't that exciting? Y'all excited about that? I mean, because it's good to know that you're the problem because you're also then the solution. All you have to do is repent, wrestle through, agonize, pray through until all the sin's gone from your life. That could take, you know, a day or 2 days, maybe a week. How many want to get started? Amen? Praise God. That's what it takes, is God. Let's not fix up the world. Let's not even fix up the church. Let's fix up me. C'est moi. It's always me. I'm always the problem. Now, do you think God is that? Is he that? Does he really care that much about that? Yeah, he does. He does. He's into just one individual. He's just into one heart, one soul, one body. Now, the church today is mostly into salvation, and by that, what they mean. What they mean is not what the Bible means. When the church today speaks of salvation, all that we mean is, oh, I believe Jesus died for me. Ah, that's all you mean? Yeah, but why did he die? Did he die just so you could go to heaven and sin like hell? Did he die just so you could go to heaven someday after sinning like hell all the way to heaven? No. He actually died for you to leave you an example so that you could then die for him. You remember? He took up his cross, and then he said, now you take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. If you would be my disciple. Now, if you don't want to be my disciple, you just want to be a believer, okay, then you won't grow. And then no one will be blessed. And there'll be no benefit for this world. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? So the church stopped, and still is today, stopped. They don't want to do more than believe. Well, I believe in Jesus, I'll tell you that. That's good. You believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. I believe Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yahoo! The problem is, Jesus had other words. There are a few other words in the New Testament. Quite a few. And those other words say, not he who begins, but he who endures. Now, if you're enduring, you're not just enduring like believing. You're enduring like suffering. How many want to suffer? How many want to suffer? Yeah, because he said, to the extent you suffer, to that extent you'll be glorified. To the extent you refuse to suffer, then you will not be glorified, and you won't glorify him. And he's going to come back and say to a lot of people, depart from me, you evildoer, I never knew you. I don't even know who you are. No, 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 we did mighty works in your name, blah, 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 blah. He said, you did them? Well, I don't know you then. Because in my kingdom, I'm the only one that does anything. In my kingdom, everybody relaxes. In my kingdom, they get the sin out of their life, not because it's a good thing, because it's a cancer. It's a bad thing. The reason you're not going to get the sin out of your life, you should go to heaven. Jesus died for you. You can go to heaven just based on that. So you don't want to get the sin out of your life for yourself. You want to get the sin out of your life for others. Well, it won't hurt you either. It wouldn't hurt. I mean, I'm just telling you, it wouldn't hurt if you got ready early. It would not hurt. I mean, God wouldn't like, oh, you know, I'm surprised you get ready early. He won't be angry that you try your wedding dress on early. Amen? Now, as your pastor, I just want you to know, you need to be holy. Not only believe in Jesus, but also love others, just as he said, particularly the church, but also all mankind. But also, he has this duty, number three. So three is built on two, is built on one. One comes before two. Two comes before three. If you get this right, then you'll get this right. If you get this wrong, you'll get this wrong. If you get this wrong, you'll get this wrong. If you get this right, you'll get this right. So obviously, one is the key to two, which is the key to three. Now, I want you to know something. Government is never built directly on God. It's built indirectly. God permeates, that is, he fills through to government through morals. In other words, government is part of the moral realm. It's part of the moral realm. So there is no such thing as a Christian nation. I know it's being taught far and wide today, but it's wrong. Totally, 100% wrong. But anyway, I know a lot of nice people believe it. But that doesn't mean anything because we're not respecters of persons. It's just a wrong teaching. Why? Well, first of all, let me give you the most powerful argument against it. Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says that you are a royal priesthood. Amen. And holy nation. So the only holy, Christian, true nation is not the America, would be the church. You are a holy nation. In other words, you are salt and light. Salt is sprinkled over the food. It isn't, you know, big clumps. Salt is sprinkled. You are sprinkled throughout the world and throughout America. Now, there can be lots and lots of Christians in America, but a lot of them are juvenile. They could be pagans as far as the world's concerned because they don't see the Christians actually living a Christian life. Take your representative, for example. You know, he could be true. And by the way, I never had to compromise when I was in power, but people will hate you. I'll tell you that. You get hated a lot because you won't let anything unfair happen. And I never did. I never had to take a bribe, or I didn't need any money. I didn't want anyone to give me anything. I didn't have to do anything except sacrifice my time, my energy, and so on. And I love doing it. I love serving. I'm used to it. You get to serve all the time. It's a great thing to do. I love serving Peggy. I do. I love serving you. I like it. I like it. Now, I'm not talking about my flesh, by the way. You all understand that. I kill my flesh. My flesh peeps up. Hey, be quiet. don't want to listen to my flesh. How many of you have a flesh? The old man. So you just say to your old man, shh, quiet. Well, I just want to say something. Quiet, quiet. And he just wants to speak up and say, you know, ain't right. He just wants to complain all the time. You ever heard your flesh? It's real easy to spot. It's always complaining, griping, you know, criticizing, justifying, arguing. You know, your flesh is real easy. It's always selfish. It's always selfish. Whereas your spirit man is always loving, kind, you know, so that whatever I say to Peggy or anybody else, it's always, you know, what Jesus would say, never what I would say. I don't have a self. Do you all understand that? Dead to self. Remember, it says that in the Bible? Be dead to yourself. That's what I'm talking about, praying through until you're dead to yourself. And it took me a number of years. It took me a long time. I was actually very abusive to my wife. I was abusive, completely abusive. I loved being abusive. I had no guilt about it at all. I'm not someone who sins and feels guilty. I'm someone who sins and feels wonderful about it. I enjoyed sin. Do y'all understand? Is anybody here like me, wicked, scoundrel? Well, that was the way I was by nature, me and Lynn and I. So we are by nature shallow, boring, uninteresting, wicked, nasty, compromisers, hypocrites, and so on. That's just our natural capacities. Anybody else have those natural capacities? And you see, most of you only let it out occasionally, but I didn't care when it came out. I wasn't as guarded as most of you. When I sin, I just sin. I didn't care that I was a pastor. It didn't mean anything. And Peggy often threatened, I'm going to tell on you. She often threatened that. And here's how I'd respond. Peg, I don't mind if you tell me. I don't like the job anyway. You go ahead and tell on me. But if you tell on me, your bread and butter is gone. So, you know, you need to sit on the row. Just sit on the front row where no one can see that you're unhappy. Just sit on the front row. Don't let them see. Don't let them check it out. That's not a joke. That's actually the case. But then I fell in love with Jesus. Jesus completely transformed me, and I fell in love. Once you fall in love with Jesus, the sin falleth away. It's not just forgiven, it's removed. You see the difference? Forgiven is what Jesus did on the cross. So now your sins are forgiven. But still, I'm sinning. After you've forgiven, that doesn't mean you stop sinning. After you believe in Jesus, you still are sinning. You still get angry. You still are jealous. You still are bitter. You still are vengeful. You know, all that stuff still comes up. And I knew God was saying, Jim, I don't want any of that. I know, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know anybody that does. How do you do it? I believe in it, but I just can't pull it off. And Peggy irks me at times, anyway. She's an irker. Is anyone married to an irker? You know, she is irking me, you know. And sometimes it would be funny to me, but sometimes she'd just do stuff and I go, Peg, stop being so damn pious. You know, because she'd always, you know, catch me and criticize me. I go, look, just to confess it. I confess it. So I'm wicked. So what? Just forgive. Forget. Love me like Jesus does. Do y'all see this? Do y'all see this? This is important. This individual stuff somehow is important as the whole world politically and the whole of the world morally. If you get your religion right, you get everything right. Anyway, Jesus thought of me and he thought to himself, you know, this is a hard guy. This is a minister who's got all the words and all the concepts and stuff, but he doesn't live any of it. He's not living it. Does anybody else have that problem? Anybody else have that problem? Yeah. He's not living it. He's believing it. And I did. I believed it and taught it and so on and so forth. I was gung-ho on it. I thought it was a great idea. You can sin and then Jesus has to die. I love that idea. I do wrong and he pays. I loved it. Seemed like a good deal to me. He was happy in it and I was happy in it. I liked sinning and he liked forgiving. So worked out good. Jesus, I need some more. Some more. Could I have some more forgiveness? How many know you can use up Jesus like that? And I didn't just use him for small sins. I'd use him for any size sins. Didn't matter. I never, ever, Peggy can tell you this, never worked on removing sin out of my life. Never. If she would say, well, there's one thing that I really don't like that you do, I'd do it twice as much. I didn't do anything to ever please my wife. Why I have a great marriage today is not because I ever worked at it. It's because I never worked at it. Why? Because only Jesus can do good. Only God is good. You have to die. Jesus didn't want me to improve. He wanted me dead. And the way you're dead is not physically dead. The way you're dead is when you give up and surrender to him and say, Jesus, from now on you say my words, you do my deeds. I don't mean just tell me legalistically what to say and do. I mean actually crucify me. How many know that God wants you crucified? I mean, really, really. You are tough to live with. I want to look at each one of you personally here, you know, just to tell you, you are a hard person to live with. Could I hear amens?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So it isn't just that my husband this and my neighbor that. It's you. You're the one that's tough. And I just had no cover, you know, whereas most people are kind and decent and so on, at least try to be. I'm not. I never was tried to be decent and kind and so on. I didn't care if I lost my job or not. I didn't even like the job. So it didn't matter to me. I knew I'd cheat and do whatever I needed to do anyway. Y'all understand? Do you understand that? You don't know a lot of people like me, ruthless. But everybody's like me. They just hide it. But I didn't. I just didn't. Grew up in a mafia family. We just don't hide. You know, that's it. He's just, you know, if you don't like the guy, kill him. Eliminate him. You know, just, I had no conscience. Zero. So not being raised in church, I was 11 before I ever stepped inside a church, ever. Didn't get baptized, didn't get, you know, anything. Nothing ever happened. And so I just grew up on the streets surviving. You're just going to survive. Do you all understand that? So, and everybody else in the neighborhood was the same. You know, you grew up in the Chicago area. You understand, this is the way it is. Everybody's got a neighborhood and so on. And we were poor, white, Irish trash living inside of, you know, Czechoslovakians, Polish, and so on and so forth. And they were the Russians, and they were mean. They were nasty. And we were just poor, white trash. You know, we were just trying to make the way. The neighbor lady had no floor. we had just, you know, a little house, two-car garage. This is about a two-car garage right here. That's it. That was our whole house. Three families living inside of it. Two other families on the property, one with 14 children, the other with 8 children, the Andersons and the Bresleys. And so, as you know, that's your way of living, but you don't know any better. How about, I know if you grow up that way, you don't know any better. You know, it's not like, gee, I feel bad for myself. Everybody lived that way. Everybody was, you know, shooting each other, raping and so on and so forth. It was just common. So you don't have any morals because you don't have any standards. If there's no law, there's no sin. It's just simply survive. No father. Remember, I didn't have fathers. Then I had, you know, one night stand father. That was just one night. And then the next guy, he only lasted a couple of years. Then the next guy didn't come along until I was about 8. So by the time I was 8, that was my third father. That was Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler wanted to kind of discipline me. I didn't like that. I didn't want to be told what to do. Because I'm friendly looking. Am I not friendly looking? I am. I'm a sweet, cute, little, friendly looking guy. But I'm devious as all get out underneath. But, you know, people didn't know that. So at 9 years old, I was stealing everything and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. But God wanted to, He liked me. I don't know why. He liked me. He looked at me and said, you know, there's a guy that needs help. That guy needs help. I think I'll make him one of my Christians. You know, he liked me. I didn't like him. I didn't believe in God. I didn't hate him. I didn't want anything to do with him. I didn't believe he even existed. I mean, look at my life. I did not see how there was a God, you know, managing all that stuff. And I didn't pray. We didn't pray as a family. We never went to church. Nobody ever went till I was 11. That was the first time Adolf Hitler then took us to the Lutheran Church, and that was the first time. Wasn't very far from where you live. You were in the Wheaton area? Yeah. Well, that was just a few miles from where we are, and that was a nicer cut of people than we were. We were in the low grade. Actually, the county of which I was part was the richest county in the whole United States at that time. I don't know if you were in DuPage. You were in DuPage? Here's one of the reasons why. But it's also because other towns around us, like, Hinsdale and very nice places in the Chicago area, the mafia lived in my area. That's why we were there. And they're out of, you know, all these lower grade deals. But our little town actually had some extremely DuPont-type people, wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people, and a lot of mafia people. And when I grew up, I thought the biggest homes are owned by the mafia. Why not go mafia? I mean, crime obviously does pay. I mean, people say it doesn't, but it does. I mean, I was on my little bicycle driving by. He got a nice house, and, you know, look at the cars he has. So, but Jesus looked at me and said, I'd like him to be one of my ministers. Well, that's the last thing I wanted to be, was a Christian. And then second of all, a pastor. What a waste of life. You know, when you can be stealing and, you know, being rich and famous and great. But anyway, God sent me to the best schools. He saved me completely, turned me around, and I am now a lover. I'm not just intellectually a Christian. I love Him. And now that, I love you, and I love my wife, and I love the bad guys. I love the mafia. I even have a Bible study, and we have mafia people in it. It's great. They're come right out of the prisons. So they're my kind of people. I understand them totally. So I don't look mafia. I don't look like that because I have the Yale background and all this high scholarship stuff. But the truth is, I'm still just mafia when you get down to it. Just a low-grade Christian who was once a sinner. So Jesus wants to renew the government. So here's what he says. They ask him this question. Jesus perceived, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Do you pay your taxes or what? Jesus perceived their wickedness. And he said, why tempt me, you hypocrites? Wow. That's amazing. Right. That's one thing with me. I was never a hypocrite. I always was what I was. You ask me a question, I just tell you the answer. Or I'll lie to you, but I'm no hypocrite. I'm not thinking, when I tell you the truth, I don't think I'm good. I know I have a devious reason for doing it. And if I tell you a lie, I'm certainly not any good, but I know exactly why I do what I do. I always knew what I felt, what I thought, what I wanted. Always. Now, my wife, on the contrary, Peggy, by contrast, this is why it was good marriage. She never did what she wanted to do. She never even knew what she wanted. She never even knew what she thought. She never even knew what she felt. Isn't that amazing? I always knew what I felt. Let's kill that guy. Yeah, I always knew what I felt. I'm going to kill you. You know, I mean, it is real easy. But for her, she would say something like this. Well, what am I supposed to think? How would I know? What do you think? I don't know. What am I supposed to think? I thought that was funny. Well, what do you think? I don't know. What am I supposed to think? Well, how would I know what you're supposed to think? Just, what do you think? She didn't know. For her, that was painful to actually make a decision because you could be wrong. And if you're wrong, you can be rejected. For me, what do I care? I don't care about mothers. I didn't love my mother. I don't care about fathers. Where are they? How many are there? They can all, you know, jump in the lake. So, by the way, I was able to reconcile with my birth father before he died, tell him the gospel. I was also able to go to the second father, who only stayed a couple of years, and also witness and share with him. And also my third father, and he accepted Jesus. And, you know, powerful how God gave me my family back. Isn't that amazing? That's real Christianity. I mean, that's not faking this stuff, because I didn't do anything. I just told them the gospel and told them what happened to me. And they saw it. They could just see in my life something powerful. And my mom, some of you knew her, my mom was awesome. 6 major diseases, she became a Christian, all gone. My mom was an agoraphobic. That means you never leave the house. You cannot get out in public. Then she became a Christian. She was out witnessing, sharing Jesus. And anybody here who met her, she'd walk right up to you, give you a scripture, tell you about Jesus, and have no fear of anybody. That is, those are miracles. And she was happy every day, sang to Jesus every day. I mean, wrote songs out, took secular songs, turned them into Jesus songs. And we have all of her, you know, stuff that she wrote down. She was just awesome. But she used to be completely a recluse, totally, you know, sickly and whatever. And I didn't like her at all. I had no use for her. I didn't hate her because that would take too much energy. But it was just, I just ignored her. Didn't pay attention to her. You see, that's a clever way, isn't it? Very efficient. Now, but God restored all of that so much that not only did she want to be a Christian, she said, I want what you have. Then my dad saw that and said, I want what you and mom have. And so on and so forth. It's powerful. God isn't through until he's through. But he wants all of you. How many want to go all the way with Jesus? That's why you're here. You're not here to get something interesting, but to go all the way. And when you do that, first with God, then second with others, and then third, even with the lost and dying world out there. I before I die, I intend to majorly impact the world, not only through moral other people, not only to God, but also to my enemies, to those that hate me, to popes, czars, I don't care who they are. I'm intimidated by nobody. Nobody intimidates me. Nobody, I don't want anything from them, and they can't frighten me. Why? Because I'm ready to die. I don't really care if I live. Now, you can say it, but you have to mean it. And I deliberately go to the worst places on earth, not only here, but anywhere. In other words, I want to go wherever it's hard, where it's difficult, where it's impossible. Now you know why I'm here. Where people, it's tough to reach people, you see? Because we don't do it because it's easy. We do it because it's not easy. Why? Because with God, you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, because they're pygmies living in the deepest, darkest Africa doesn't mean you don't go there. That's why you go there. Because they have no toilets, they have no kitchens. That's not why you go there. You go there and you stay 3 days among those pygmies. Why? Because it's powerful. There are now dozens of pygmy churches and there weren't before. It's so powerful. Those people have fallen in love with Jesus. And they are wild. When they worship God, they go all out. And they're powerful people. But wherever I go, I always go to the worst African country, the worst in Russia, the worst country in the whole Russian Empire, Moldova. That is the most degraded, most communist, most wicked place. That's where I like to go. I like to go where it's impossible. All over Africa, all over India, all over China, wherever it's tough, that's where I want to go. And Israel is another very tough place to reach. I actually meet with the rabbi in Fort Worth, one that has the largest thing, and we fellowship together all the time. I don't know why he wants to do it, but he likes meeting with me. And, you know, it's powerful. I don't try to teach him or instruct him. I just listen and wait for the Holy Spirit to say, now say this. Simple. I'm not trying to do anything. I love him, and he loves me. But I don't know why. I don't care. I don't care if I never see him again. It's just whatever Jesus wants me to do. You all understand? So I do whatever I'm told to do, and it's a ball. If you don't care about your life, you can have a lot of fun. If you don't care, if you think people are all alike, see, I think people are all alike. I think all people are wicked. I don't think there are any nice people. Did you understand? I think there are hypocrite people who pretend. But if you get close to them and rub them the wrong way, their self will come out. Isn't that funny? And I have a habit of, maybe it's a gift. It's a gift. I think it's a gift. Of bringing out people's worst side. You know, of making them hate you. You see that? Why? Because that's in you. Let it come out. I don't want to love you as a nice person. I want to love you like you really are. You all understand that? I don't love Peggy because she's nice. She's not nice. She's nasty. But I love her because she's nasty. And I love her being nasty. Do you all understand that? Now, when she's nice, that's nice too. But I really don't care. To me, it's the same. Do you all understand that? Jesus put us in a real world with real people. Don't fix it up. Don't make your mother. Peggy always wanted my mother to be different. I said, no, leave her be. Let her be the way she is. I like her the way she is. Well, I said, da, 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 da. I don't care. That's my mom. And I told my mom, I like you just the way you are. Don't change. Don't shift. Don't do anything. Be you. You understand? And she's had games. My gosh. And Peggy could pick them all out. And I said, well, Peggy, you know why you're so good at that? Because you play all those same games. You're exactly like my mother. Wouldn't you like to be married to me? That would be... It's a joy. It's really a joy. Now, listen to what Jesus said here. Jesus perceived their wickedness. How many know that all men are wicked? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many know that all men are wicked? How many know that you are not only a little bit wicked, but completely wicked as any other person that's ever lived on the face of the earth? Now, you're thinking of your behavior. Oh, I know your behavior is cleaned up. So that just means you hide better. That doesn't mean you're not wicked. We are all equally wicked. Anyway, Jesus perceived their wickedness. And here's what he said. Show me the tribute money. Just show me the money. Just show it to me. Let me see it. And so, you know, they're reaching in their pocket and they pull out the drachma. They pull out a coin. It could have been a tetra drachma, a fourfold drachma. But this was a twofold drachma. In other words, it was like a denarius. A drachma is the same as a denarius, which a denarius is 15 pence, which is a day's wage. So the tax that's due on you is a day's wage. So he said, show me a coin. And so they pulled one out. You remember one time when Peter went fishing and Jesus said, we got to pay our taxes? Jesus paid taxes. Pay our taxes. Go to a fish and you'll find it. It'll have a tetra four. It'll have a tetra drachma in it. That'll pay for you and me. So that shows that a didrachma, two, that'll pay for us. You owe two and I owe two. That's called a poll tax. Okay, a poll tax means a head tax. Now, that ought to be the only tax in the Bible. That's the only tax. Now, they had to pay a tax and tribute. Okay, the same thing you had to pay to the local, to your own country, Israel, you also had to pay the same to Caesar. So it just so happened it was the same. So he said, show me a coin. So they pulled the coin out. Here's what he said when he saw it. And he saith unto them, whose is the superscription and the image? Whose face is on that coin, and whose superscription, whose writing is on top of it? And so when they pulled out the coin, it had, you know, a picture of Caesar on it. And this coin was a picture of Caesar. Nice picture of Caesar here. And here he is. Cute looking. Caesar. And he said, okay, whose image and superscription is on there? Who is that? And they said, oh, that's Caesar. And they recognized it. And Jesus said, fine. And what's your question? It's got his picture on it. It's obviously his. What are you doing with it? Give him what's due. And they showed him the actual coin that was due. And said, do we have to pay to Caesar or not? He's a wicked tyrant. He's a despot. Not a good guy. Do we have to pay to an unfair guy? Now do you see the answer? As I explained it to you before. The reason you've got that wicked guy is because of your wickedness. You got a wicked guy to punish you by my wrath, and I gave it to Caesar to conquer Israel to get at you, the people, individual people. Do you see that? In other words, all you got to do to reverse this situation is you become good, and you will change your nation, and you will then change the world. But you don't want to. The problem isn't the world is wicked. The problem is you are, and you refuse to admit your wickedness and do anything about it. That's the problem. And he's just saying, you want to play a game with me? It's not going to work. So he said, show me the coin. He showed him the coin. He said, whose image and likeness? Caesar's. Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. He's got his name on it. That's his name. That's his picture. Those are his words. Give it to him. It's his. Give every man his due. In other words, why are you asking me that? Now, the temple tax, you owe to the temple tax people. Give them what's their due. And other people, you owe whatever. If you borrowed something, you owe it back, and so on and so forth. You know how to be fair. Now, why are you asking me a question about justice when you yourself already know the answer? But I'll tell you the answer. Jesus is not one that just asks questions. He always gives the answer. I'll tell you the answer. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But what? Give to God what belongs to God. Now listen carefully. This is the power of this. You owe that to Caesar. It's got his picture on it. He made the coin. After all, he put his stamp on it. That's his. It's not yours. There's a word in the Greek that says didymi. Okay? Apodidomi. Give back, apo, give back to the one in whom it belongs. So here's the coin. I've got it in my hand. I possess it. It's mine. Possession's nine-tenths of the law, right? It's mine. I've got it. But you owe it to her, to him. Give what you owe. So even though it's in my possession, I have to give it up. So you have money in your pocket, and you can think, I won't give the government their due. They don't deserve it anyway. So I'm going to keep it. There's a lot of people that think that way, particularly as Christians. Well, I don't think we owe it. Okay, fine. So get all the sin out of your life. Then you won't have an oppressive government over you. You won't be in debt. The problem is you. Well, I'm okay. It's just other people. Really? That's good. That's clever. I like that. I never, ever, ever act because of Peggy or you or anybody else. All my actions are due to God. I have one God. I don't have two gods. Because Peggy did wrong, so I get to do wrong. Now, when she does wrong, I do say that to her. Well, the only reason I did wrong is because you did wrong. But it's a trick. It's a trick, isn't it? That's not why I did wrong. I did wrong because I'm just mean. I was just waiting for the opportunity and you gave it to me. I loved it. How many know that you have a little mad in you and you just wait for somebody else to kind of bring that out? And you're glad when you go, I hate what you just did. That's actually, you had all that mad in you just waiting for somebody to justify it. Thank God as a Christian I can get mad. No, you can't. You have no right to do it. You only have a right to give blessings out. Woohoo! All right. So now Jesus is saying, but render unto God what belongs to God. Ah, a limit on Caesar. So now the issue is, here's what belongs to God. Let's see how much belongs to God. All of that. Give this to God. In other words, give yourself to God. Render unto him due worship, and you won't have anything to Caesar. You will have just a small amount. What amount? Exactly the amount that is actually fair. The beginning, you know, when the IRS first started in the early 1900s, it was only a couple of percent. It was even less than a percent, actually. It started out actually as like a half a percent. Then it got up to a couple of percent. I mean, the IRS, when it began, was nothing. It didn't even attack 3/4 of the people. It was only on a handful of people. So it was never set up to be egregious or heavy, and it was no real burden. But the reason now it's really burdensome is because you never learned your lesson. You have a heavy government today instead of a light government because you're not self-governing. If you only had governed yourself, first of all your spirit, then your soul, then your family, then your church, if you'd only done that, you'd have a light government today. You would be a free people. Now, can I get back? Oh yeah, anytime you want. You have all the power in your own hands. God will actually stop the world the minute you say, God, I want to follow you today. I want to go all the way. You can only do this one day at a time, by the way. I want to follow you today. But after a while, you'll get used to it. You'll get used to doing the right thing, and you'll notice when you're not. And you'll start living this way all the time. Anyway, and God will stop the world. Hey, one of mine wants to follow me. I'm going to, you know, when I give them a duty, that creates a right to do the duty, which then necessitates a liberty to do what they have a right to do, which then creates a capacity in them to be self-governing so that they can use that liberty to do that right, to do that duty. Now, when God gives you a duty, these duties are what will set you free. Do all of this, and He'll give you this for free. Seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. So everything else is a gift. Otherwise, it will not be. It'll be a burden. It'll be a wage you're paid for the wickedness you've done. But if you would seek first the kingdom, then He'll give you this. And what is it to seek first when it's a faith religion? What is it to seek first? Let Jesus do everything. Let Jim be dead. Let Jim not love Peggy. Let Jesus, through him, love Peggy. In other words, I don't speak to Peggy what Jim speaks. I speak what Jesus would speak to her. And Jesus always wants me to love her, even when she doesn't deserve it. How many know that Peggy doesn't always deserve it? And He wants me to love her and speak well of her when what I want to do is teach her a lesson. I want to get even or give her what she's really due. But He says, no, Jim, give her what I gave you. What? Remember how I loved you and forgave you and was, oh, yeah. But God, she needs a lesson. So do you. And here's your lesson. You say what I want to say to her. And He won't let me speak. He won't let me act. So I'm not allowed to hit her. I'm not allowed to yell at her. I'm not allowed to put her down. I used to always go like this. That is so disgusting, Peg. You are so stupid. And I would say that and do that all the time. And then one day I mistakenly said something about that was wrong in a sermon. And Peggy listens carefully to those sermons. And when we got home, she said, you know, you do that all the time. What? Go like that. Do I do that? Well, by golly, I do. You know, and so I said, well, you deserve it. And she went, that's not what you said in the sermon. Oh, I know, but that's just for the people. When we're at home here, it's, you know, we're real. So that was the end of that. So I don't do it anymore. Is that possible? Yeah. I didn't make an effort not to do it. I just looked at Jesus, realized He never did that to me. He never did that to me. And I began to meditate on that. Beholding Him, we are changed. Beholding Him. I wasn't beholding Jim. I was beholding Jesus. Treating me the way He treated me, and I began to treat her the way He treated me. So I spoke His words, did His deeds. Y'all see that? That's a miracle. If God can take a wicked person like me and turn him into a righteous person, He can change anybody. He can change anybody. He can change your heart and your soul and your life. And not only that, He can change the whole world. Did you know that God wants to transform this world before He comes back? Now, I don't mean it'll be a perfect world. I just mean the remnant. There's a remnant out there that He's purchased. He knows. He already knows by His foreknowledge. He doesn't make them. He wants Jewish people to be restored. They aren't right now. That's one reason I meet with the rabbi. Because I know he's going to be restored. And not only that, I believe he's going to see something in me that's so powerful that he, it doesn't matter what he says, I know he's attracted already. I already know it. And I love this guy. I have no problem. This guy is great. And I listen to him carefully. I go, well, say some more. How do you look at that? And he loves teaching me. And you see, but I'm listening to the Holy Spirit while he's speaking. And I won't say a word until God says, now, say this. It's powerful. And there's a Jewish lady in our congregation over there that actually introduced us. And she said, he likes you. And I said, how come? She said, I don't know. But he likes you. So she asked him point blank, do you want to keep meeting? You know, like this? Yeah. He meets with the largest, Bible church. Largest Bible church in Fort Worth. He meets with the pastor. Why would he want to meet with me? A nobody. An absolute zero, a nothing. Is it because I'm so intelligent and all that kind of stuff? It might be. But I don't think so. I think he sees something different that says, I want to waste another 2-3 hours with this guy periodically just because it's a joy. And I feel the same way. I look forward to it. I love it. And everything I do, I like doing it. I love meeting with young people, bikers. I love prostitutes. I love meeting with, you know, our Fort Worth church. I love meeting with Dallas. I do. What? So, you know, my daughter has started, you're part of it, has started a Bible study here in Dallas for young people between 25 and 35 or something like that. Young people. Oh, you're also. And it's powerful, isn't it? It's good. And just to gather together, say, Dad, I want my friends to know what you teach. And she tried herself to do it, got some material and so on. She said, Dad, you do it. You do it. You can do it. I said, oh, you're young. They're your people. You do it. Dad, you do it. So my daughter is like I am. She's very blunt. She knows, you know, you do it. Don't forget all that nonsense you say. Just do what I say. She's learned. She's learned how to control me. So easy. All you got to say is, Jesus told me. You know, she completely controls me now. Dad, Jesus told me you should do it. I'm soft on that. So learn to die to yourself. All die to yourself means is you don't will anything of your own. Not my will, but thine be done. You don't think anything on your own. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. You don't have any emotions other than this one. Rejoice in the Lord always. Where does that leave room for griping, complaining? You know, it doesn't. Criticizing, you don't. If you're rejoicing always, you're going to be stable. Did you know if you are always rejoicing, you will be stable? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But show me a person that is emotionally stable, and I will show you somebody that's single-minded and has a strong will. Because they have strong faith in God. You build on this foundation, which is the foundation that Abraham discovered when he went to find a city with a foundation. It's called faith. True religion is not works, but it's faith. In other words, it's not you at your best, but God at His most powerful and merciful. God is the one that's good. God is the only one that's good. The reason governments today call themselves benefactors is because they don't know that God is good. And the moment that you grab to yourself and say, I'm a good person, you have just attacked God, who said, only God is good and no one else is good but God. Now, the minute you say, well, I'm a little bit good, or at least I want to be good, you are a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You're a liar. You are not good. You'll never be good. But if you get hooked up with God who is good, which in His goodness He wants to do, He wants sinners to be drawn to Him. He wants to go and find a sinner. Amen? And when He sees a sinner, He can spot him. You know, I'm not thinking of you in particular. But when He finds a sinner, He says, you know, here's a person that needs my blessing, my mercy, my goodness. I'm going to give it all to her. Isn't that powerful? But you do have to admit, I am a sinner. And a lot of people have reluctance to that. Not anybody here. But I mean, there are other churches, Methodists and stuff. They don't like to admit that they're wicked. But I know I can just look around. I can see most of you. You are wicked. You are wicked people. This is a wicked, hypocritical, nasty people. And that's okay. God doesn't mind. God is not at all put off by your sinfulness. He sent His Son to die. Say, Jesus, go down there, they'll kill you. And just go down there and let them kill you. But tell them you love them. just said, you know, why would I want to do that? We have grapes up here. It's nice. Big color TV. You know, why would I want to go down there among people? Don't worry, you'll be among your own people. Jewish people. They're friendly. They'll gnash their teeth and, of course, crucify you. But because Pilate was going to let Jesus off. Remember that? He washed his hands and said, I don't find a crime in him. But the Jewish people said, you know, he's one of us. And we don't like him. He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. He's a malefactor. And Jesus was the only good guy. He was completely innocent. He never had sinned at all. He was down there to love the Jewish people. He came down to the Jewish people. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He was their Savior and their King and their Lord and their God. He was everything. So he said, here's the deal. Show me a coin. Okay, that's Caesar. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. All right? What belongs to Caesar? I told you four things. First of all, fear, honor, taxes, and tribute. Those four. Fear, honor, taxes, and tribute. Very limited, in other words. What belongs to God? All of this. But you know what belongs to God? Whose image and likeness do you have? What superscription is written over you? Who do you belong to? Then give it to whoever the owner is. It isn't Caesar. Did you know that Caesar has God's image and superscription on him? So even Caesar has to render to God what belongs to God. So our first duty is not three, nor even two. And yet most people today are trying to turn Christianity into just kind of like humanism. Let's love man. Let's be kind to man. That's just you being decent. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Nothing. When you're at your best, you stink and you're a liar. When you're behaving yourself, that is not God. That is you pretending like you're good or could be good or feel good about yourself because you were nice. Well, I did that nice thing right there. No. You are always nasty. You are always selfish. You are always wicked. Only God is good. Now, I know that deflates a few of you. I can tell there's a few of you deflated by that. So I'll repeat it. There's nothing good in you, never will be and never can be. Only God is good. What God wants to do is save you, that is rescue you out of, you know, your world, and then fill you with himself, which means empty you out. If he fills you, then you isn't in you anymore. Then there's a new you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you is what loves Peggy. That's the only you that can do good. The you that's dead is the you that lives. If you lose your life, you find it. If you keep your life, you lose it. So what Jesus wants to say is, Pilate, you owe. Everybody owes to God this duty of worship. You don't take worship as though you were doing anything good. Rome is not good. America is not good. No government is good. The founding fathers never, not even for a moment, said, we're going to build a good nation. They said, we're going to build a nation that will stop bad people and just do what they're told. They don't get anything for it. They're not getting taxes because they deserve them. They're just getting taxes because I said pay taxes to them. Because they're going to use that sword to stop bad guys. There's no goodness in that. When a slave does what a slave has to do, because it's just a slave. Government is a slave. It's a trustee. Okay? Here it is right here. Where's the word? Trustee. Right there. Trustee. A trustee is just a servant. Now, it's a servant of a servant of a servant. The people are God's servants also. So, the government is a servant of a servant who is God's. God is the master over everybody. So now, the sovereign people, and by the way, the people are made up of servants, which is individuals, they're also servants. So you know, you got servants of servants of servants of servants of servants. And when you get down to local government, it really gets small. But government today is masterful. Why? Because you messed up. You don't even know who you are. You have no idea how powerful you are. Because you want to be somebody, that's why you're nobody. But if you would admit you're nobody, then you'd be somebody. Let God be the one that's almighty, all wise, all powerful, all great, all good. Let God do that, and you will have found your life for the first time. Being his slave, you'll actually be free. When you become a slave of God, you're free from all men and all government. Now, the reason the founders set up our government the way it was, and I can describe it in utter detail how they did it, how I read all their stuff and examined it and so on and so forth, the way they set it up was immaculate. It was really powerful. Not perfect, but really good. All of its fundamental principles are awesome. They just didn't work out the details, and they left it for us to work them out. We have not only not worked those things out, we have ruined whatever good they had, and we've taken away all their principles. Why? Because we never followed God. The problem in this country is the pulpit. It's the pulpit. The pulpits are silent. Even the nicest pastors out there, and Dallas has a lot of them, they are fearful. They are in fear. They will not go against anything. They're so afraid of the government. And they're so subservient. They're scared to death, and I know they are. They're intimidated and they're frightened. They need not be. They ought to fear God. If they would seek only God and have faith in God, then they wouldn't be afraid of man. But the reason they're afraid of their own people, let alone the government, all kinds of things. They don't want to say anything wrong. They don't want to harm anybody. They don't want to run off half their people and so on. Why? I run them off all the time. Why? Because I'm not into people pleasing. Why? Because you're too hard to please. Even if I tried, it wouldn't work. You're like Peggy. You're insatiable. You know, there's no way to ever please you. If I just tried to please just Crystal, it would be a full-time job. She's hard to please. Am I right? Yeah. It's okay. You can say yes. Now, but that's all right. I don't love you because you're worth loving. You don't have to be worth loving. Love is given to people that don't deserve it, that are not trustworthy. We never love people that we trust. I'm going to say it again. We don't love and forgive and show mercy to people that we trust. We love and forgive people that we don't trust. Trust in the Lord. Do not trust in man. Do not trust in princes. You don't trust pastors. You don't trust leaders. You don't trust anybody. You trust in the Lord. They're just servants. And so Caesar also has the image of God, that he was created in the likeness of image of God. He may have erased that. By the way, have you ever seen a coin that's old? It's often so effaced that you can hardly read what's on it. And I sometimes buy old coins. And I have coins of Caesar. I have coins of Alexander the Great. I have coins that date way back. But you want to get them as clear as possible. But it's impossible. Those old coins have been used so much, they're worn down. And you can barely see the name Alexander on it. It's written in Greek, of course. Then you can barely see the name Caesar, which is lit in Latin. And that's one of the reasons that I study Latin and Greek and Hebrew and all that, because I want to read the original coin or the original document or the original whatever. Because there's something to it. It's so powerful. What Jesus is saying is not in the text. You have to see what he's saying. Show me whose coin, whose image, whose superscription. Whose image are you? Whose superscription is over you? You call yourself Christian. Are you? Do you belong to God? But let's say you don't. It doesn't matter. God still owns you because he created you. And he stamped his nature on you. Even if you're a pagan, even if you hate God, even if you're an antichrist, it doesn't matter. He still stamped his glorious image on you. And you have a reason, and you have conscience, and you know there's a God, and you know you owe him. Because he is your God, and you belong to him. Give to God what belongs to God. You belong to him. His name is over you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means every piece of property, every bowl, every shirt, every tie, everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of the earth. He made the heavens and the earth. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They belong to him. And his signature is everywhere in creation. And I've studied for years to look at the smallest molecule preaches Jesus Christ. I don't care where you go, a tree, a leaf, a branch, a rock, a caterpillar, everything speaks of the Creator's glory. His design is evident. And the Bible says in Romans, the first chapter, what God did in creation is evident and obvious to the whole world. All you do is look up at the stars. He said, even the heavens declare the glory of God. They speak, they sing, they shout. Nobody could say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. He said, a fool says in his heart, there's no God. But he's a fool. In other words, there is one. And even the fool knows it. But, you know, he's sick because he's seen Christians who are hypocrites. You know what? There were no atheists in the ancient world, by the way. They're only modern types after Jesus. That's the first time anyone decided. Even the Romans, they believed in gods. Everybody had gods. We were the first people in the modern world. That's why I'm doing the modern world this year. I want to show you how the modern world, we'll do Freud, we'll do Marx, we'll do, you know, Darwin, all those idiots who are now ruling our universities and ruling everything here and ruining everything. But it's your fault because you don't know how to see through Darwin, or you don't know how to see through Marx or Freud or anybody else who's one of the high witchcraft people in the world today, dominating the world. But not only have I read all those people, I've devoured them. You know, the Kierkegaards and all those people, the Fichtes and the Hegels and so on. Every one of them can reduce them to a sentence, can reduce them to just a couple of words. Why? Because they're witches. They're monsters. They're liars. But the fault isn't with them. It's with the church that has failed for thousands of years, 2,000 years since the church began. But it's not producing yet any good products out the back of its factory. What it's supposed to be producing is not talk, but actual people who are godly. There should be godly people who aren't just godly in their hearts deep, deep down that no one can see, but it should show up fruit so that people can look at you and say, you're Christian, aren't you? They can just look at your kids and say, you're Christians, aren't you? People have done that. They've actually, we went to Glen Rose a few years ago, and I remember somebody come up, he said, are you people Christians? And, you know, I was like, whoa, we're in a restaurant eating. And the guy said, I was in the bathroom and your son came in. He opened the door for me and so on and so forth. And he said, I knew right away, you guys got to be Christians. I've never met a boy like that. And my son is still like that today, if anybody knows him. It's awesome. And my daughters, I mean, they're powerful. Why? Because we didn't ever put lies on them. We told them the truth. We told them the truth about the world and about themselves. So my kids didn't have to sleep around or whatever and so on. Not because they're any good. They know they're not any good. But they're just real people that know they need Jesus. And so they're unafraid to share at TCU or wherever they go. They're unafraid to share. No, we don't believe that. You're wrong. And they stand up and refute those professors. And the professors back down. This is amazing. Each of my girls, they would go. And David, too. They just would witness all three of them. All three of the girls and David. They all witnessed in their school and said, we don't believe that. That's not true. My father's a pastor and that's not true. That's like, wow. You said that? I said, Darwin is wrong. And I said, you said that? How do you even know that? Well, I heard you say that once, Dad. God, no, but you don't know anything. No, I know that's right. And then they spit out this stuff. Where did they even get it? Because they were thinking on it. When they were little kids not paying attention in church, they were actually paying attention. I mean, I'm serious. You think kids don't listen to you? And they're sitting there, Dad, I already know all that. You know what? You don't know anything. I do. Da-da-da-da-da. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. People actually are watching you carefully to see whether you're a hypocrite and a liar or whether you're telling the truth. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They want to see Jesus in your words, in your life. That's what they're looking for. And Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Is that us? Is that us? In faith. In faith it is, right? Well, it could also be us in fact. Now, here's the secret. Here's the secret. Don't work at it. Please, don't help out on this one. Here's the secret. The good work He began in you. Or Jesus said it. The good work I began, I will complete it on the day of the Lord. When I return and that trump sounds, you will be transformed in that moment. In a moment, as soon as that shofar sounds, you will immediately be transformed into the image, which you already have, and the likeness of God. That is the image and superscription written over you. And what Jesus was saying is, you belong to God. You are bought with a price. You don't just belong to this world. Even in this world, you're mine, but also I have taken out a special people called mine. So let's call this the church right here. Religion in general is everybody. But specifically, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only true God. Only true God. And Jesus said of himself, even the works I do, I don't do them. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. Buddha can't say it. Muhammad can't say it. Even the Jews cannot say it. The Jews are still trying to this day. That's why I like meeting with the rabbi. They're even trying to this day. He tells me this every time we get together. Now, you know, I knew to avoid that, and I knew to do this. He's constantly working to prove himself that God will like him and accept him. I've never done that in my life. I have never done anything good. I have never done anything decent. Never. If it looked like I did, it only looked like I did. I was purely play acting. If somebody said, Pastor, you really helped me the other day. It was a mistake. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to help you. I have no good in me. I'm totally selfish. All I can ever think of. I mean, if somebody would say something is wrong, immediately I would think of all the rottenest things, and that's me. That's just the way I am. I don't ever think a decent thought or have a Jesus thing or anything like that. If that would happen, my God, I'd be in heaven. Do y'all understand? God is the only one that's good. When you do something good, give God the glory. Now, when I think of my rotten thought, I immediately repent and go, God, sorry, I'm doubting you. I'm not going to doubt you. I know that what I just thought was this, but I take my thought captive to the Word of God. Therefore, that's a lie. What Peggy just did made me want to say this, do this. Lie. Wrong. Stop. And I will immediately repent. That's a powerful way to live. Now you say, well, Pastor, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit, not just you being legalistic? You know what? I don't even care. I don't even care. I don't care whether it looks like it's Jesus or me or whatever. I just do it anyway. I don't care. Let him decide whether it's legalistic or real. You see, I'm putting my faith in God, and it's faith that pleases God. Without faith, you can't please God. But with faith, so even if I was a hypocrite, I still have faith that somehow it wasn't hypocritical. Did you all just see what I just said? So I'm not into, I hope that wasn't a hypocrite thing. Gosh, I can do that all day long. I don't really care. I'll let God decide that. But I believe that God is good. And I believe that God is the only one that's good. And I believe I'm not good. So if anything good happens, I believe it had to be God. And if it doesn't happen, that was me. That's why I spend hours every day. Got up again, 4:30 this morning. I'm always up early. Why? I got so many sins in my life. It takes me such a long time to get to, you know, even. It just takes me a long time to see all my sins. I don't just have one. How many here are on the one-a-day plan? You know, I don't just have one sin. I got a sin that'll lead to another sin, that'll lead to another sin, that'll lead to another sin, that'll lead to another sin. I just have a whole network of sins every day. And if I don't spend time with God, I'd be unbearable. As it is, I am unbearable. But I would be more unbearable. At least I'm you're able to survive me. You all understand? Because I'll do damage if I can. Now, Raul's running a close second with me. No, that's true, Raul. You are. You're as wicked as I am. I just see that in you. Would you agree with that? Okay. Steve, wicked. Is he like I am? Oh, that's horrible. He's better at it. He's good. He's gifted. That's Wheaton. That's the Wheaton difference right there. Look, just give up. Relax. Let God do it all. God created the world without you. He redeemed the world without you. He's Holy Spirit transforming you without you. He's going to perfect you without you. He's going to put down the bad guy without you. He does it all without you. But he wants to do it in you, through you, with you, to rescue you out of this perishing world. The reason why we're here, the reason why we're here. Now, Jefferson said that the church has nothing to do with the state. So here's the church over here, that's us, has nothing to do with the state. This one stops bad guys. This one is the bad guy. You know, so they're not trying to stop bad guys. But the bad guys they're stopping are not spiritual bad guys like heretics. They're not even moral bad guys. The bad guys they're stopping are the ones that are written in the laws. That if you steal outwardly. So they only deal, and Jefferson said clearly, government only deals with external acts. They don't deal with your heart or your soul. They don't deal with heart or soul. Here's heart, one. Here's soul, two. And the behavior that comes off of those has nothing to do with Caesar. So the behavior that Caesar sees when you're truly Christian and truly moral, Caesar doesn't see you. They have nothing to do with you because you're lawful. You're keeping the law. You didn't try to keep the law, you just do. Because you're dead to yourself. And when you are, you're doing everything the law. How many know love covers a multitude of sins? When you love one another, that's a miracle of God, but that's just God in you. He's the one that's love. You're not the one that's love, but He's the one that loves through you. Then you know there's a God. If you're alive and selfish, you can't love somebody. You're going to love yourself first. You're going to try to get two for you and one for them. Right? I mean, when Peggy used to bring the cake to me, she would used to bring the cake, and being a Christian, she would always turn the big piece to me and always take it. But I didn't want to just my piece of cake. I wanted as much cake as I wanted. I didn't just want to have a little bigger piece of cake. I want as much cake as I want. And there might not be that much left, you know. And I'll just go and eat it. You see what I'm saying? Well, God has shown me that's evil. But I didn't care. I would just count that way. And I would do it to my own mother, to my anybody, as a pagan. I just always took care of Jim. Who else cared for me? She didn't. Oh, she hypocritically did, because on the outside she was very dutiful. But on the inside she had a nasty spirit about it. You know, I used to say, Peg, now, do you really love cooking for me and doing for me? And, you know, she'd have to go, she just wouldn't want to answer that question. I'd say, well, you're a hypocrite, Peg, because you just do it out of duty. But you don't really love me or care for me. I know I neglect your birthday and all that stuff, and I don't care for you at all. But I say so. But you pretend like you're decent, and you can judge me because you're better than me. You're no better than me. You're just a liar. And a damn liar at that. You're just a damn liar. So stop it. You don't love me. Now do you love me after we've had that little talk? And then she'd have to admit, I don't. Isn't that beautiful? You all don't see that. I don't know what kind of conversations you have. That's beautiful. I'm going to tell you something, it set her free. Yeah. Because she said, if he can do like that, I'm going to do like that. And she began being nasty. And that was great. First time in her life, she could be nasty with somebody and get away with it. Not only, first of all, I have a really bad memory. But Peggy has an excellent memory. If we would have an argument, I'd go, well, Peg, you know, you've sinned too. She'd go, what? And I couldn't think of anything. Well, I know you did. So we'll say it. I can't think of anything. Because I forget stuff right away. I mean, I just get mad, hit you, and do whatever I do, and I'm on to something else. But Peggy holds those things forever and massages them and numbers them and categorizes them. And when I say, well, what have I ever done? Sub-point 3 signal, you know, and she's got it all. And she not only she can go back 20 years, what color socks I was wearing, what tie I had on. That woman is, and she's incredible. Her details are, you know, but I can't remember yesterday. So you see, we're all equal. This is God's idea. God's idea is none is good but God. Do you all understand that? Now, I know that everybody here wants to be good. Stop it. You're not going to be good. You cannot even know what's good. You can't even do what's good. Only God is good. Only God knows what's good. Don't eat of that tree. And only God can do what's good. Let God be God. Let God do it. It's so much easier. Enter in, strive, work hard to enter into His rest. Don't be working. God doesn't want you to work. He never wanted you to work. He just wanted to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When you give Him everything, he'll give it all right back. Everything that he has is yours. Isn't that beautiful? Everything I have belongs to Peggy. Now, she has a little account of her own, and so I go, Peg, let's both share from your account and my account. She said, no, we're using yours. I said, but we're always digging out of mine, and you have your own account. That's not right. That's not fair. And she loves it. She goes, I'm keeping mine. We're spending yours. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? That is, by the way, that's called selfish. That I love. You see, that doesn't displease me. That totally pleases me. I like it when she cheats like that. Why? Because it shows that she knows I can sin and God will forgive me and God will bless me. Well, I know why she's doing that, because she's afraid she might not have some more or something like that. And that's okay, just lack of faith. But the truth is, that's true. Because she knows I'm unreliable. She knows how unreliable I am. So get it and keep it, hoard it. You know, when the market fell down, we each had, you know, some money. And so hers, she said to the people that watch over our stuff, take it out of the market and just leave it there. And mine was, okay, take it out and then put it over in this one. Just gamble again. Go for it. Well, mine won. Mine flourished. So while I lost it, and Peggy, when she saw that, she was so disappointed. Oh, mine went nowhere, and look at yours went. I know it's because I took a risk and had Jesus. You know, because I don't even watch anything. I don't ever look at it or anything. That's a Jesus thing. He likes me. So he made that thing win. I didn't even know what I was doing. So I got out of the market. We both got out of the market. But the way she got out was, hold it, don't lose it. You know, she's like the one with the napkin that you bury in the ground. Here. I at least kept it. Whereas I'm the one that goes down to the bottom and loses everything. Jesus, help me. Forgive me. Sorry, I'm such an idiot. And then, you know, I'll flourish again, and then I'll just, you know, waste it. Then, you know, I'm always up and down, all over the place. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that is the one thing you don't want to do in this world, because it'll make you manic. You'll be up, excited one day, and down and depressed the next day. Up, excited, down and depressed. How many of you don't want to live that way? No, nobody wants to live that way, especially women. They hate living that. But I'm a gambler. I love that kind of thing. It's like, woo, what fun we're having. Let's do it again. Let's see what happens this time. Because I have that spirit in me. Do y'all understand this? I mean, this is a guy thing. But I'm glad Peggy has what she has and keeps that napkin buried in the ground. I love it. You got it. I said, yeah, Peg, what you don't realize is the dollar today is not worth what it was. So you actually lost a third of your money. You don't have what you had. You're down a third. Well, at least I didn't put it in the market and lose it. Well, that's true. But you actually lost. So gamble like me. No. And we don't make decisions, though. I used to make decisions without her because I was brilliant. But now, after losing everything, I have decided I will never make a decision unless we agree. So now we agree on all things and we win every time. That is amazing. That is amazing. I'm telling you, there's a God. Because I never thought she would know what to do. I never thought that. But she is keen. She is so fast to say, I don't trust that guy. I go, what's wrong? He's a Christian. I don't trust that guy. Don't you dare work with him. You know, and she's clever. She's fast. That's amazing. Why would God give a man who was an idiot a wise wife? Did you know that Abraham had a wise wife? Do you know that Abraham had a wise wife? Sarah. And he said, I'm going to keep Ishmael in the family. And she said, toss the woman out and her son. Sarah. That's my son, my firstborn son, Ishmael, out. I don't care. Don't you love it? How smart she was. She went based on faith in God's promise that Abraham was the father of faith. She listened to what he said and said, I'm going to do it the right way. Kick her out. There should be no relationship between works and faith. That's why you have a heavy government today, because you don't know that. Yeah, she knows that. But you know what? She didn't care. She did not care. She did not care. She knew she had done it, but she put all the weight on Abraham, her husband. Fine. I screwed up. You pay. How many know that that's what wives should do? If a wife overspends or messes up, fine, take care of that. I love that. That's a real man. A real man would say, I'll take care of it. If I have to work twice as hard or whatever, that's my job. That's a man. Do you all understand that? What does that man do? Here's what he does. God, help me. The woman thou gavest me. She's crazy. Help me. Now, that's a good man. You see, that humbled that man, which was a great blessing for him. So if you're a wife, dump everything on the husband. And if you're a good husband, you're smart to dump everything on God. God, I can't handle this woman. I can't handle it. She messes everything up. Could you please take care of her? And God will say, no, but I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make sure you don't make one move without me. You see that? That's God's wisdom. So the best is yet to come. I say this, that our government right now, our economy right now, our world right now may not look good. Stop it. The whole fault, if there is a fault, lies with you. And therefore, the whole hope rise with you, not with God. He's already given it to you. He's already put it in your hands. He's just saying to you, repent, believe, obey. Don't obey first. Repent first that you disobeyed. Then believe that He's good and that He not only forgives you, but He'll help you to do good. Then you can obey because He is the one living in you to obey. Then to God be all the glory. And what will He do with all that glory? He'll just give it right back to you. That's a good husband. That's a good God. That's a God that answers prayer. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render unto God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? 1 and 2. What belongs to Caesar? See, the only reason I pay taxes to Caesar is not because Caesar makes me. The reason I pay is because God told me. I want you to fear Him. I want you to honor Him. I want you to obey Him to the extent that I've told you. Pay the tax, pay the tribute, whatever. Don't worry about it. You seek first me, I'll set you free. Don't you dare try to get out of it yourself. You won't make it. Don't you try to put it down. Don't you try to do that. And the Americans did exactly that. They did not say the tax was unfair. What they said was, we aren't in on the decision making. If we have to pay the tax, then we want an equal voice in it to say whether it's good or bad. Because we don't think the government is wise without us, because government's nothing but people. And besides, it's the creature of the people. And even if there's a king, he only rules in the name of the people. The people is what government is all about. People for people. Of the people, for the people, by the people. That was our system of government. Nobody ever in the history of the world set up a government like we did. Why? You know why? Because our founders knew what the Bible said. And they followed the biblical pattern. That doesn't make us a Christian nation. That makes us a nation for all people. A light to the Gentiles. This is the only Christian nation right here. The ones that believe. You. And it's a nation among the nations that not counted like any other nation. Why? Because it's a church. And it's a church that God calls His nation, that someday when He wipes everything away, there'll be none of these political nations. There'll only be the Christian nation left. That's all. And I want you to be part of that. I want you to see it and be part of it and realize you didn't do it. It was just a gift to you. Because all you did was seek first the kingdom of God. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Got his name and image on it? Give it to him. Even if he got it by deceit. I don't care how he got it. I don't care what he's doing. Don't overthrow him. Overthrow yourself first. The tough enemy is in. The kingdom of God is within you. Get it within, you'll get it without. But if you try to do it the other way, it won't work. When the Americans fought the British, you know what they did? Simple. They knew the British were tyrants. They knew George III had broken his word. They knew that they couldn't beat them. But what they said is, let us call days of repentance and fasting and get the sin out of our lives. Make sure we don't rape when we're traveling across with our soldiers and so on. Make sure we don't lie. George Washington wouldn't even let the troops swear. If you swore, that was such an offense that you were immediately removed from your position and kicked out. That's amazing. You were not allowed like they do today. You were not allowed to do it. We decided that greatness was due to goodness, and goodness was obedience to God. And so, that's why we won. Today, we don't have the moral edge anymore. People do not believe America is good anymore. They believe it's our dirty CIA doing tricks throughout Africa and Asia, South America. They believe that the dirt that we do, we don't even treat our own people right. We don't even get along with each other. They do not look to America anymore except for Walmart. They don't look to America for its spiritual goods. They look to America for its material goods. Why? Because we've ceased to be a good people. Why? Because you and I are not America. And we are not lights in this world. And we are not salt in this world. Salt preserves the world from going to hell. It keeps meat from rotting. Light shows people what they ought to be. We don't have any light. If the light in you be dim, then how great will be the fall of that house? The reason today we're in trouble is we're not. We're not really in trouble. We're here is our problem, not here. This is just a symptom of this. It's a symptom of this. Get the tree right, you'll get the fruit right. Get the fruit right, and you'll see a new America. You want to change America? Don't. Change you. Just change you. Just change the church right here. Just start with Dallas right here. This is enough to completely seed all of Dallas. We don't even need more than a dozen people. We don't even need that. We could just two. If you just had two, if just two people today would say, I'm going all the way with Jesus, that'd be enough to change all of Dallas. The prayer of one righteous man hath great power in its effects. Wherever you live, there ought to be a difference. Not just within your heart, but within your soul, within your life, within your family, within your church, within your community. The reason our communities are like they are today is not because there are no Christians, it's because there are no Christians that are Christian. There are plenty of Christians. They see the problems and they just avoid them. They just run away from them. They don't want to solve those problems. You think government can solve social problems? You think government can do anything good? I say not. God saith not. The only one that could help is us. All voluntary, all free, all easy. All you got to do is die. All you got to do is die. If you were dead, you would be alive. If you would die to yourself, you'd be alive to God, and God would finish the work. Now, I don't expect that to happen. I don't anticipate that that's going to happen. I just want you to know that's mandated by God for you to do. Surrender. Give up your life. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render unto God what belongs to God. All worship to God.